on the Big Sports Breakfast. Time to take a look at what's happening in rugby league.
Denny, you've been busy. How are you, mate?
Morning, gents. Yeah, I think I remember writing a story about 20 years ago when Chock Mundine put a sex ban on himself. I think his quote was, yes. "I don't go there, baby."
was it a ban just in the lead up to a fight, or was it like the night before football. A game when he was still playing?
Yeah, I think it was when he's playing football. I've got a recollection. You've triggered something in my mind, and yeah, "I don't go there, baby." It was something like that.
Yeah,
a headline.
Yeah, I can recall that.
That time of the old legs story.
It might have been the old legs. I was running on old legs too at the time, but I can't remember a coach ever saying, no sex before games, or you've got to go on these sort of bans. It was always about the alcohol when I was playing.
Or curfew. You had a time you have to be home by.
Yeah.
What did that say about you, Laurie?
What was that, sorry?
What did they say about you? It's about the alcohol.
In a certain time, you had to be home. Sometimes I didn't always make it.
Nothing's changed.
No.
But they were the good old days, Denny. They were the good old days. Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Denny, so the Cody Walker story, which you have broken in the last 24, 48 hours or so, how did the story unfold for you, and what is the latest?
Yeah, it was an interesting one, Mido. On Saturday, I think it was Saturday night from memory, I was sitting at home and I started to get some intel that there was a video floating around showing Cody Walker in some kind of incident. Investigated it on Sunday to the point where a journo I know went and had a look at the video. Then it just sort of started to explode. I broke it on Sunday evening that there was then a blackmail attempt, because I took it to staff, said, "Look, I'm hearing about a video with Cody." And they said, "Yep, we're aware of it. Cody's gone to Mascot Police to say that he's been blackmailed, or the video will be coming out unless he gives the people who have it $20,000. And then the video was placed on Facebook by people yesterday. All the while, I was trying to communicate with Cody to hear what he had to say about it. Because when I first saw the 4 minutes and 20 seconds or so of the video, I found it so weird that there was this kind of refereed fight on the street between a couple of blokes, and then out of nowhere, Cody Walker, shirtless, furious, comes in and just kicks a bloke. I could not understand any part of it. I didn't understand why there was a fight on the street being refereed and two blokes hugging each other after they're belting each other. And Cody was good enough late yesterday to have a chat to me. He was absolutely shattered. Probably there wouldn't have been many worse days in his life than what he went through yesterday. And he explained the emotion behind everything that took place and why he did what he did, and how he knows how wrong it is that he did what he did. Look, he's one of the people in the fight was his cousin. That person's sister had taken her own life that week. Cody saw red when he was in a fight. Obviously, Cody had been drinking. It was quite clear from the video. He didn't comprehend what was going on. He saw red. He saw anger when he saw his cousin in a fight, and he intervened. I'm not making any excuses for what Cody did, but that's exactly what happened. And I want to thank Cody for at least coming forward and telling his story and being honest about it.
Yeah, I saw that last night, and I saw a contrite Cody Walker, and he said to you, Denny, that he'll accept whatever punishment comes his way. He's not going to disputed at all. He knows he's done the wrong thing, even though he was emotional at the time. And it's certainly not the Cody Walker that I know, because I know he takes his role as a Indigenous leader very seriously, and he'd be regretting the action that he did. Do you know, Denny, whether he informed South Sydney straight away, or was it more... And did he know about the video, or did he just find out about the video and then after being attempted with this blackmail and then made South Sydney aware of it?
Look, I asked that. I had like a probably a 5 to 7 minute chat with Cody, and that was one of the questions I asked, whether he told Souths at the time, and he said he did. He also said he wasn't aware of the video, obviously. I mean, if you look at the state that he was in, you wouldn't have thought that he'd know there was a video being filmed or wouldn't remember it. And he did tell South Sydney, so he made them aware of exactly what was going on, to his best recollection anyway. And so they've known about it. So I guess to some degree, the incident, what wouldn't have been a surprise to South, but obviously the video is something that, once again, we're talking about videos, you know, it wouldn't have been something that Cody would have expected to be hitting him fairly squarely between the eyes just before the season resumes.
Denny, what are you expecting the punishment to be from the NRL and then obviously South Sydney? And then the second question is, would he have been better off, and again, I don't think you recommend this to anybody, but would he have been better off, Cody Walker, paying the $20,000 for this just to disappear and no one know about it?
Yeah, first of all, the punishment, I'm pretty bad at predicting these. I got it really badly wrong when we're talking about the Addo Carr and Latrell Mitchell stuff. And I would think he'll probably get a couple of weeks. But I could be totally wrong. In terms of blackmailers, I don't think he should be paying blackmailers money. Because what if they agree to $20,000 and then 5 minutes later they say, okay, well, how about we have $40,000? You know, like, where does it stop? In the end, it's cost Cody Walker a lot already emotionally. It's cost him, like, as Laurie said, he's quite a respected figure in the rugby league community. It's cost him a big chunk of his reputation. You can't put a dollar figure on that. And then it is going to cost him financially, I think, either through missing games or a fine from the NRL. But I don't think, you know, paying blackmailers is something that any sportsman should really get involved with at all. I think he did the right thing by going to South and going to the police and telling them what he was going through.
Interesting times for South Sydney, Denny. How's James Roberts going?
Yeah, look, I heard actually there's a couple of issues with James Roberts. Firstly, I wanted to talk about I did an interview with Greg Inglis in my column on Sunday. I got in contact with him and said, look, would you like to give James some support, given, you know, you've sort of been through a difficult time yourself? And when I spoke to him, he launched into Ben Eichen for a column that he wrote the previous week, talking about how players who have who can't handle the heat basically should get out of the kitchen and go and play park football. I didn't ask Greg a question about it initially, and he was furious about it because he's been through his own mental health struggles. He came out and volunteered information like that he's suffering from bipolar too. He takes a tablet every night and every day is a struggle for him. And he was very, very proud of James Roberts. James has had his issues for many, many years. He unfortunately deals with his issues sometimes in the wrong way by drinking, but he's trying to become a better person. Look, it's a long battle for him, but I think the way it was perceived from throughout the game that there was a column written by Ben Eichen that really did get people's noses out of joint who have had mental health battles, and Greg Inglis in particular. He doesn't really come out and say stuff very often, and when he did, he was really, really annoyed.
Yeah, it's a tough subject, isn't it, mental health? Because I suppose, like we all do, we all think we know what's going on in someone's mind, but we don't. And everyone deals with things very differently. And we don't know the people and the struggles that they are going through. Denny, Clarkey asked me a question early this morning, and I don't know whether you can give me an update at all or if you know what the case will be, but given that James Roberts is in rehab and he's outside his football bubble, does that mean when he comes out of his rehab stint that he has to isolate away from South Sydney for 2 weeks?
I reckon Clarkey should start coming to the press conferences.
I'm loving being on this side, Denny. So how easy is
that? You wouldn't have thought that about 6 years ago.
Come up here with us, Clark. You know, that's a really good question. and one that I know a few journalists have been tossing around as well, and we're going to pursue it later in the week. And I think that I've put that to the NRL this morning, once you and Laurie sort of started talking about it. And their answer is it's currently being considered, the whole situation. They haven't got a clear answer on it yet. They're going to speak to their head of biosecurity about it, and they hope to get an answer shortly. What was interesting, Clarkie, is that because Cody Walker went to Mascot Police Station, he needed to get a clearance in order to come to training yesterday from the NRL, because that wasn't part of the play, train, go home sort of scenario, and he needed to get that cleared, ticked off, before he could even get involved. And I'd imagine that, look, James Roberts has been in a mental health area, and he's obviously mixing with other people, a lot of other people, you'd imagine. So I think there is definitely a question there that needs to be answered, and hopefully we'll get an answer to that today from the NRL, but it's a really good point.
I'm asking all the tough questions today, Denny. We know what's happening in the AFL overnight. They've put a bonking ban on their players. Any such thing in the NRL?
Well, in effect, there is.
Any such thing in the media?
Mate, there's never a ban. Most likely in the media.
Dee Weidler in the heyday, look out.
Strutting around Bondi Beach.
Don't worry about that. If only I could have written headlines, Loz.
Anyway, back to reality. the situation is that players, unless they've got a girlfriend who lives with them, they can't just bring in people who aren't in that situation. They've got to have partners with them. I think that was made quite clear to the players early on. Like, if you're not living with your girlfriend, well, it's let's go back to the Choc Mundine philosophy. You can't go there, baby. So it's not going to happen for them. I mean, this is how strict this situation is, and how desperate the game obviously is to, not have anyone, breach their protocols. And the players, for all we want to whinge about their behaviour and everything else, as we're sort of going into a more free environment, they're going into a much tougher one, and they have to stay there until they're told otherwise. So it's not easy for them. They get a lot of flack. But a lot of them are doing good things, and most of them are adhering to the rules.
And is that nominated, Denny? So you've got to nominate, or you've got to give the NRL your wife or your partner's details to say this is or the kids, whoever's living in the house, this is the group, this is the family, and that's all that's allowed in there? And how is that monitored from the NRL?
I think, again, you're asking the tough questions, Pup, but I think that the NRL had the right to inspect homes, you remember, at the start of this. That was part of the protocol. So people had to fill in a form as to what their home life was going to be like. And if it was considered unacceptable or a risk, they'd have to consider moving people out. Like, there's some players who, some players live with doctors or health workers, or some of them have a mum who's a nurse, so they're all things that need to be, that the NRL has to be aware of. And the other issue that's sort of bubbling beneath the surface is the whole issue of club doctors, something that the NRL has concerns about, because club doctors aren't fully attached to the teams. And if they're working in practices, and I know there are strict protocols around doctors as well, they're coming into contact with a lot of people as well. So that's another whole issue that the NRL has some concerns about as well.
Denny, we'll have to leave it there, mate. Thanks again.
Covered plenty of ground. Thank you.